This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Ultimate Weight Solution, The 7 Keys to Weight Loss Freedom. Written and read by Dr. Phil McGraw.
Part 1. Unlocking the doors to permanent weight loss. Getting real about you and your weight. You have a decision to make. You know it, and so do I. At this very moment, you are thinking about your weight and how you have tried to lose it in a million wrong ways. You're wondering if maybe, just maybe, there is something here in this audio program for you, something you've wanted for a very long time. And if there is, should you try it? But hear me out. This decision you are mulling over in your head is not whether to start yet another diet. You have made that well-intended but misguided choice dozens of times, and through it all, your weight just keeps creeping up or maybe even shooting sky high, and it's getting harder to control with each passing year. The decision you must make is whether or not you will quit conning yourself and telling yourself what you so desperately wish was the truth, that there is some hot new diet out there promising quick and easy results. So decide, do you want to keep fooling yourself or not? Do you want to keep chasing after and being seduced by miracle diets, slimming products, and overnight weight loss? You've known for a long time that you are going to have to get real about fat or stay real fat. Despite the millions of advertising dollars spent to convince you otherwise, losing weight and keeping it off is not quick and easy. And you know it. You know it because you have been on umpteen diets, from the cabbage soup diet to the water diet, and not one of them has ever kept you slender and fit. You have always known that these quick fixes don't work, but it was fun to believe it, at least at first, until everything you tried brought you back to the same point of failure. I have to get totally real with you. I know you're looking for something you can take tonight that promises slim tomorrow. I know you're looking for something that melts fat off like sun melts ice. I know you want these things, but continuing to chase after them will bring you nothing but frustration, pain, and self-remorse. You will just continue to sell yourself short, staying stuck in your life and struggling day after day with overeating and being overweight and never doing anything truly constructive. But stop right here. If you adopt what I will give you in this program, you will overcome your weight challenges and struggles. Nothing will stop you from being anything less than healthy, vibrant, in shape, and fully in charge of you and everything you think, do, and feel. This will happen because you make it happen. It will happen because you have made the decision to step up and do what it takes to have what you want. Together, as we go through this program, you will discover that unlike most weight loss programs out there, there is no one-size-fits-all solution. No pun intended. Well, maybe a little pun. Responsible and permanent weight control has to be customized. Because you are a unique individual, your weight control issues are unique. The strategies you require must be yours and yours alone. Any plan that creates lasting, lifelong results is going to have to be designed specifically for you, by you, with help from someone that has done his homework and has broken the code of what is truly required for you to lose weight and keep it off. That someone is me. For more than 30 years, I have counseled people just like you. People battling weight problems ranging from chronic obesity to life-threatening eating disorders, and I understand their life impact not just from a professional standpoint, but from a personal one as well. In 1995, My father, who struggled for years with weight-related heart disease, collapsed and died suddenly of a heart attack one Sunday morning while teaching Sunday school at his church. Obesity robbed him of many precious years of his life, and it has gravely affected the health of many other members of my family. To say the least, I am painfully aware of the toll obesity can take on every dimension of your life and health. Over these many years of counseling overweight patients, I have discovered what it takes for you to create the results you want. That means I know how you can get your weight and your life under control and back on the right track, permanently. When you follow my instructions and take the decisive and effective action I will detail for you, you will begin to live with such a high level of health, energy, vitality, and control that your life will seem like new. And you will never have to revert back to your old overweight self ever again. Ever. Trust me, whatever your current weight and diet history, this is something that you can do. All it requires is a willing spirit and an open mind. There was an 8-year period in my career during which my work focused particularly on people who were 100, 200, 300 or more pounds overweight. Men and women who would normally be written off as hopeless cases, most of them emptied of any expectancy for ever scaling down to a normal weight. The approaches I used with them are precisely the very same get-real strategies for weight loss you will learn about and apply here. That said, I will skip to the end of the story and tell you that, significantly, more than 80% of these patients not only lost their excess weight, they kept it off. This 80-plus percent success rate flies in the face of the outcome of conventional diet programs, which embarrassingly can claim barely a 5% success rate. Put another way, this means that dieting has a 95% failure rate. 95% of all people who lose weight gain it all back with interest within a few years. I'm so confident about what I'm giving you here because it is not only based on my own professional experiences, but it is also based on the most current research in weight control. I reviewed every piece of quality research I could find in the psychological and medical literature. You're going to learn the scientific and proven truth, the reality, and the honest-to-God deal about those things that can genuinely help you when you take action and do your part. It's information that you won't get from the weight loss gurus and the diet industry because it can't be Madison Avenued into some new diet scheme. What I've done for you is to take all that relevant information that you need from my clinical practice and from the research on what keeps weight off and what doesn't, and put it into a coherent, doable plan that will help you do this right one time, starting right now. Look, this is not brain surgery, not even close. There is, however, a science to these matters, and I know the science. So if you will do what I'm about to set out for you, you will lose your unwanted weight, and most importantly, you will keep it off. If you don't, you won't. It's just that simple. Further, what you're about to do doesn't work some of the time. It works all the time. Don't think you're the exception, because there are no exceptions. Now, if you are ever to get started on the right path to change, there is one important precondition you have to meet. You must rid yourself of that gnawing and overpowering sense of urgency and panic that always seems to appear on the scene like ants at a picnic spoiling the fun every time you decide to lose weight or otherwise get in shape. You know these feelings. They nag at you with words like, you have to be skinnier by summer. You have to be buffed by your birthday. You have to be thin for that job interview. You have to do this or that. And so it goes, relentless and tormenting you to the point of wanting to give up before you even start. Go on alert here that this is the language of losers. And if you rely on it, always telling you that you have to do something about your plight, you will subvert your own best interest. And the prospect of losing weight and getting healthier will be less agreeable and less manageable with each passing day. So listen to me. You do not have to do anything. You always have a choice. You can choose to obsess about your weight or not. You can choose to worry about it or not. You can choose to panic about your situation or not. When you choose your behavior and your thoughts, you choose the consequences that flow from those choices. So you must start choosing differently right here, right now, by being open to this audio program and everything in it. Make the choice. Stop telling yourself that you absolutely have to lose weight, because that's a lie. You don't have to lose weight. You may want to, you may even need to, but you don't have to. That's just what you've been telling yourself because you thought it would motivate you. Lying to yourself like this won't help you, trust me. You do have to breathe. No choice there, but you don't have to lose weight. So instead of all that drama and self-recrimination, I want you to choose to feel very calm and very relaxed. Get up each morning, look yourself in the mirror, and see yourself not as someone who is overweight and out of shape, but as the someone you will become. A person with a greater level of dignity and worth who, for probably the first time ever, is finally going to succeed and succeed for a lifetime. As my friend Maya Angelou has so wisely said, you did what you knew how to do, and when you knew better, you did better. That's where I want you to be at this point in your life right now. Whatever you did in the past to try to lose weight, you did what you knew how to do. But as we work together, you will know better and you will do better. A whole lot better. Trust me, you will succeed. You will do this right one time because you are about to take your weight control efforts to a higher level where you exercise your personal power to be totally and consciously in charge of everything you think, do, and feel. It's not just about cutting calories, doing more push-ups, or taking diet pills. It's simply not just about being skinny. It's about changing what you eat, why you eat, where you eat, when you eat, and how you eat, and doing it all in a way that is custom designed so that it is natural for you. It's about changing you from the inside out so that being what is fit and healthy for you is as natural and normal as breathing. By changing you from the inside out, you will be able to attain and maintain permanently what I call your get real weight. It is very important that I establish a clear definition in your mind as to what this really means. Essentially, it means a weight that is healthy and realistic for your age and your physical and genetic makeup, a weight in which you are happy and truly at peace with your size, and a weight that is stable because you have taken control of every factor in your life that keeps it there. Incidentally, that weight may not be at all what you think you should weigh. For example, if you are a woman who is postmenopausal and you have had 3 children and what you want is to be super skinny like you were at age 23, the reality is that you need to aim for something else. Your get real weight is the weight at which you look good, feel good, and lovingly accept yourself from the inside out. What you're about to do to achieve your get real weight will be unlike any diet or self-makeover program you have ever undertaken. I am going to give you 7 critical pieces, I call them keys, to realigning and changing your life, internally and externally, in a way that will create, achieve, and maintain lasting weight loss. Think about these keys in the following way. You're standing at the end of a long, upsloped hallway with a series of 7 locked doors, one after the other and all blocking your way to the other end. Each of the seven doors is a gateway, a throughway to specific, vital aspects of weight control. Up until now, though, some of these doors have been locked to you. They've blocked your passageway. They've been barriers to your success because you either have tried a dozen keys, all of them wrong, or you failed to use every one of the right keys. Only the right keys will do the trick. These are the keys I will give you in order to open each one of these doors and take the steps required to move down this hallway. When unlocked with the right keys, each of these seven doors will lead you one step closer to personal and permanent control over your weight. Obviously, your job is to unlock each door, step through it with a commitment to change, and keep moving forward until you've walked through all seven doors. Each step is an upward climb, and if you fail to unlock any door and step through it, you'll start rolling right back to where you started. But if you make your way through all seven doors, at the end of your journey is everything you have ever wanted for yourself, but have not been able to attain and maintain up until now. This program is about identifying those seven doors and giving you the seven keys to unlock those doors. Every person who listens to this program should start at the same place, even if some of the information may sound familiar to you. You may already have some of the keys, and if so, great. We will focus on how to maximize what you have, building on and incorporating the foundation you have already laid. But many of you hold none of the keys. You haven't even opened the first door to permanent weight loss, and that's perfectly okay. This program is designed to meet you where you are. Even if you think you're familiar with a certain key, study it for reinforcement and encouragement, putting into action any additional steps that will build success and create value for you. Yes, you may have to spend more time on some keys than on others, but only by fully mastering all seven keys will you be able to do this right one time, beginning now. Yes, I realize that you would love to go right to the part of this program in which I tell you what to eat or how to exercise. But this is the same sense of urgency and need for immediate gratification that has gotten you into trouble so many times before. Without going through the keys in sequence, you are likely to blow your chances of mastering them all. Be patient enough to do the work as outlined, and you will prepare yourself for success. Please keep this in mind, too. The difference between those who can't keep their weight off and those who can is found in these seven keys. Even the 20% of the people that I treated who failed to lose their weight long-term did not have or use all of the seven keys. The 80% who did succeeded. As one of my life laws states, you either get it or you don't. The 80% get it. You are about to become one of those who gets it. Now for an overview of the seven keys. Key number one, right thinking. In order for you to overcome your weight challenges, you have to first know exactly where you are starting. Where you are now with your weight struggles, everything you are, everything you do, begins with and is based on what I call your personal truth. By personal truth, I mean whatever it is about you and about your weight problem that you have come to believe. This personal truth, as it relates to your weight and indeed to your entire life, is vitally important because if you believe it, if it's real for you, then it is for you the precise reality you will live every day. Key number two, healing feelings. It's no big news flash that many people, you included, eat as a way to medicate themselves, usually in response to negative emotions such as anger, guilt, loneliness, stress, or boredom. You also eat in response to positive emotions such as happiness and joy, and in doing so, you use food as a form of celebration. You have developed a strong emotional attachment to food, and this is one powerful reason why you turn to food when you crave love and emotional support. eating emotionally has figured hugely in your weight problem. With the second key, healing feelings, we will unlock the door to emotional control and learn how to break the cycle of overeating in response to emotions and stress. You can't eliminate emotional triggers and stress. They're facts of life. But you can learn how to heal counterproductive responses to life's challenges and gain a new sense of control over your eating. Key number 3, a no-fail environment. The third key unlocks the door to external control, the ability to shape, design, and manage your environment so that it is virtually impossible to fail at weight control. With this key, you will concentrate on the personal landscape of your life that includes everything from your home to your office, and you will be focusing on areas within this environment that must be cleaned up in order for you to lose weight. Key number 4, mastery over food and impulse eating. If you are stubbornly overeating, binging, or otherwise continuing in some repeated pattern of self-destructive habits and behaviors, discovering why you do this is not only worthwhile, it is essential to achieving permanent weight loss and control. With Key 4, mastery over food and impulse eating, you will unlock the door to habit control. Here, you will learn how to control and reshape your behavior, first by identifying why you persist in these bad habits, and second by replacing them with actions designed to weaken their hold over you. Key number 5, high response cost, high yield nutrition. You are intelligent enough to know that if you take in more food than you burn off, you will gain unhealthy and unsightly amounts of weight. Yet you continue to choose the wrong foods in too large amounts, putting taste and convenience ahead of nutrition. The fifth key, high response cost, high yield nutrition, unlocks the door to food control, an amazing approach to nutritional balance that is nothing short of revolutionary and amazingly powerful in its simplicity. Key number 6, intentional exercise. Exercise is now counted as one of the top lifestyle factors that will help you lose weight and keep it off for good. But the problem is, most people are so exercise adverse that they will never be in danger of drowning in their own sweat. If this description fits you, rest assured that I will not be asking you to spend endless hours in a gym, train to become an Olympic athlete, or grind yourself to the ground in boot camp-type calisthenics. Quite the contrary. With the sixth key, you will unlock the door to body control, the power to keep pounds at bay with a maximum results workout strategy that you can start slowly and continue at your own pace. Key number 7, your circle of support. Finally, using the seventh key, you will unlock the door to social control, in which you assemble a support group of people who will encourage you and give you the accountability you need to achieve your goals. There is motivating energy in active, supportive ties to family and friends. If you want to truly lose weight, then you must try your best to surround yourself with a group of like-minded people who want you to do it. With these people in your life, your supporters, the more likely you will be to succeed. Remember, the difference between those who keep the weight off and those who don't is that the winners use all seven keys. So, if you are really sick to death of being overweight, if you have been fighting it for years, if you are tired of buying and wearing and pulling and tugging a bunch of ugly, fat clothes, if you are fed up with failing, and I mean really fed up, you can decide to change all of that right now by using these keys to get in control of your weight finally and permanently. With each key, and the self-evaluations and assignments contained therein, you will begin to define and diagnose where your behavior is now. This is important because you will never be able to change what you do not acknowledge. Working interactively, you will get at what is mentally, emotionally, behaviorally, and socially not working in your life. Only when you figure out what your biggest obstacles are in terms of weight control can you match workable, livable solutions to them. Once you have completed this important self-diagnosis, you will be given precise instructions, steps through the door, on what you need to do and how you need to do it. Specific things you can do right away to begin generating results, and generate results now you will. As soon as you start using the 7 keys and following through on their action-filled steps, you will get right now results. Plus, you will be automatically setting up your world for long-term weight stability and maintenance. Remember, I haven't said that losing weight would be easy. Staying with it can be challenging, but I have incredible news for you. The 7 keys to permanent weight loss are designed to keep you going even when you don't feel like doing so. And that's why they work where other programs have failed. They have as their foundation 2 essential motivational premises that can afford you great power in losing weight and keeping it off for good. Premise number 1, you don't need willpower. Admit it, every time you ever started a new diet, you tried to white-knuckle it with willpower, didn't you? And the more you white-knuckled it, the more intensely you wanted it, the more you were actually wasting energy. You might be able to white-knuckle it for a while, but you can't do it forever because eventually you'll cave in. This is a natural human impulse, and that's okay. Let's get something straight. You have been lied to by the diet industry. You have been told that it requires willpower in order to successfully control your weight. You've been told that it would be easy. You bought into that lie, and it has beaten you down and crushed the very core of your being. You believe that you failed because you lack sufficient willpower, or that you didn't want it bad enough, and that somewhere inside you, you must be weak and inadequate. The 7 keys to permanent weight loss do not depend on willpower for success. What they do depend on is programming, a far easier, much more effective and practical way to sustain your commitment during those off times. Programming involves making small, deliberate modifications in the way you live your life, and it has everything to do with developing a lifestyle that creates healthier behavior. Let me give you some specific examples of what I'm talking about. You program your life internally, from the inside out, when you stop turning to food to mask feelings and medicate internal distress. You program your life when you reduce your exposure to food by eliminating the junk from your kitchen. You program your life by cutting back on the time you spend in the grocery store. You program your life by arranging your schedule so that it easily accommodates exercise and activity. In short, you can program your entire life for weight control success. And you can do it in a way that the programming carries you instead of you having to white-knuckle and run up the hill every single day. With programming, along with the appropriate goals, actions, and self-management, you design your life so that it pulls for you when you're weak, when you're not pumped up, when you don't feel like behaving maturely, when you don't want to tell yourself no. If you program yourself and your environment in such a way as to support your goals and actions, then you have programmed your world to help you lose weight, to sustain your commitment, and to live your life in a meaningful, purpose-driven way. As soon as you begin to think, behave, and act differently, using these 7 keys, your mind and body will reciprocate. Although it may be hard at first, you will discover that with each passing day, as you eat for health and nourishment, Your addiction to refined sugar, for example, will grow so weak that it becomes non-existent. You will find that you are not fond of junk food because it's out of your system, both physically and psychologically. You will love the taste of real food again. You will not eat a whole box of Oreos. You will stop eating before you feel full and bloated. No longer will you be obsessive about your weight. You will know what it's like not having to suck in your stomach or to camouflage your thighs. You will come to love your body and live in it peacefully and comfortably. But more importantly, as you peel off your weight, you will take on a renewed, more alive way of being in the world with the physical and emotional power to enjoy your life now and to its absolute fullest in your later years. When you begin to take control of your weight in the coming weeks, I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you have to lose 25, 50, 100, or 250 pounds. In fact, I don't want you to think too much about the amount of weight or the number of pounds you want to lose. What I want you to focus on is requiring more of yourself starting right now. Then and only then will those pounds come off. You can successfully accomplish this by consistently following the keys and strategies I will give you here. And doing this one meal at a time, one day at a time, one step at a time. That's all I ask. This is a good thing, really. Think about it. You can't predict the future, and you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You can deal only with the realities of the moment. It is when you look too far ahead, worrying about all the pounds you must lose, that you become overwhelmed, unfocused, and defeated. But if you concentrate on the here and now, the present moment, believe me, your weight will come off. So please, don't say you'll start on this tomorrow or on Monday or even later today. Decide this very moment whether you will use the 7 keys to permanent weight loss. It could be the single most significant decision you make to maximize the quality of your health and change the direction of your life. Get real expectancies and goals. There she sat, in my counseling office, her face streaming with tiny rivulets of tears, her voice quivering between sobs. She placed 3 photographs of herself across my desk like a hand of solitaire, all from her high school days, showing a body so thin that she could walk through a harp and not strike a note. If only I could lose weight and be thin again, I'd be so happy. I want to look like these pictures again, but I can't. And so here was Catherine, a woman who was clearly 60 to 70 pounds overweight, trying desperately to diet down to her high school weight, only to watch the scales climb higher and higher because she was never successful at reaching her goal or even coming close. She yearned to understand why her body would not cooperate, why despite jumping through fad diet hoops, her figure would not return to that of her teenage years. At the same time, she believed that if she could only reach this idealized goal weight, then all her troubles would vanish with her excess pounds. In counseling sessions and seminars across the country, I've heard this same story thousands of times from thousands of people. With barely a morsel passing between their lips, they relentlessly try to strip their bodies of fat, and if they don't drop 5 pounds in a week on one diet, they move on to another, trying to mold themselves into the illusion of society's image of the perfect body. And they really and truly think that losing weight will solve all of life's problems. Reality check, you can never ever lose weight to solve problems that are not related to your weight. At your goal weight or not, you still have to live with yourself and deal with your problems. You still have the same husband, the same jobs, the same kids, the same life. Losing weight is not a cure for your life. But know this, if you faithfully use the 7 keys to weight loss, you will have a greater sense of mastery over your entire life. You will be different. You'll have more coping energy, a clearer focus, and a reordered lifestyle. You will be in a much better position to handle life's ups and downs because you will have rendered null and void all the ways that you used to destructively think, feel, and act. You will be living the life you desire and deserve because you will have equipped yourself for it. In order to make that happen, what you must begin to do is stop dealing with fairy tale fantasies about your weight and your life, and instead get in touch with certain factual realities about yourself so that you can attain permanent weight loss. You must be willing to challenge the reality that you may be wanting and pursuing things in regards to your weight that simply aren't right for you. This means that you will have to get real about where you are right now and what you can reasonably achieve. Being able to go after your goals with a realistic expectancy that you will achieve them is of great relevance to your ability to lose weight and keep it off. If you have unrealistic expectancies, you're setting yourself up for failure and you will fail. Once you wake up to this truth, you'll stop saying to yourself, I have to look a certain way. I have to be perfect. I have to do this or that. Rather, you'll say, I'm going to do what works for me. I will adjust my life to what is best for my health and my well-being, and I will make the right changes in order to be in harmony with that reality. Now, together, let's begin to bring into focus the true you and everything you are realistically capable of achieving. Before we go any further, let me explain the concept of body image to you. Body image is what you see when you look in the mirror. It's a reaction you have within you in response to that image. Body image encompasses the things you tell yourself about how you look, good or bad, fat or thin, good looking or ugly, and whether you are satisfied or dissatisfied with what you see when you see you in the mirror. How you feel about your body can have a dramatic effect on something else, your self-concept. This is a more inclusive term that describes the bundle of beliefs, facts, judgments, and perceptions you have about yourself, not as a body, but as a person, every moment of the day. What you believe about your body can influence your self-concept and how it gets expressed to some extent. If you don't like your body, this form of self-rejection is likely to weaken your self-concept and make you feel that you can never be adequate or worthwhile. On the other hand, accepting and loving your body makes you feel better about yourself and what you can accomplish. So your body image, while different from self-image, is a big, big deal. If you're judging your body against the media standards of beautiful people who are touched up, airbrushed, pushed up, or whatever else up, you are not living in the real world. In real life, you do not go around dressed in couture clothes. Your skin is not flawless, and every hair is not in place. Unlike the images in the magazines, you do have cellulite on your thighs, you do have a spare tire around your waist, your roots do show, and you do have age spots. And sure, a lot of times you do look pretty good, but get real, there are those days when you look like 10 miles of bad road. Sorry, but that's the truth, and you know it. And furthermore, if you're truly out of shape and overweight, then having a negative body image may mean that you're taking a realistic view of yourself. That can be a good thing, actually. It's only a problem if you don't work to improve it. So the fact that you don't like what you see in the mirror can be a powerful catalyst to becoming fitter, healthier, better looking, more beautiful, whatever it is that you value. You can heal what you do acknowledge. And sometimes you just got to be real if you're not where you want to be. What I want you to guard against, though, is setting standards for yourself that are unrealistic and therefore unattainable. God has brought us all into this world in a pleasing array of diverse shapes and sizes, and we are genetically programmed to be a certain way. Your unique physical traits and characteristics, your height, your musculature, and your bone structure are what define your physical being and appearance and differentiate you from every other human being in the world. There has never been another you in the history of this world, and there will never be another you. You are uniquely designed and gifted with a core purpose for being in this world. That was God's plan, and for you to reject that and say, "I'm not good enough for me," is not okay. At this very moment, you may be saying to yourself that you have any number of admirable qualities. You're a loyal friend, a caring person, someone who is smart, dependable, fun to be around. That's wonderful, and I'm happy for you, but let me ask you this. Are you being any of those things to yourself? I always say that the most important relationship you will ever have is the one you have with yourself. You've got to be your own best friend first, accepting and loving yourself from the inside out, before you can be truly happy and before you can live with purpose and passion. Once you start appreciating your body, trust me, you will begin to take much better care of yourself, and you will find that weight loss is so much easier because you are treating yourself with respect. One of the most powerful ways to attain a more positive body image is to have realistic expectancies about what you can achieve and then to set realistic goals to achieve those expectancies. That's why you must factor your genetics and God-given physical attributes into your personal goal setting. If you're a woman and what you want is to look like Cindy Crawford, or if you're a man and what you want to look like is Pierce Brosnan, but you're short and on the stocky side, the chances are that you need to want something else. Once you have realistic expectancies about what you should rightfully achieve for good health, then you are very likely going to succeed in your efforts and make peace with your body because you will be living in concert with realistic goals. That's why I have to bring up the subject of what is the healthiest, most realistic weight for you, your get real weight. There are two ways of looking at your get real weight, medically and psychologically, and I'm going to address both because they are of equal importance. Medically, there is a healthy weight for you, one that is realistic for your physical and genetic makeup. And we have to talk about this because your health is at stake. You're probably wondering, how much then should I realistically weigh? There are numerous methods you can use to determine a realistic goal weight, but none of them are without their inherent flaws. For example, many of the height weight tables are based on oversimplified, obsolete formulas created more than 20 years ago. The ideal weights they propose are too heavy for short people and impossibly low for very tall men and women. The same holds true for another measurement called the Body Mass Index, or BMI, which employs your weight and height to judge the amount of fat you have on your body. Even so, BMI is not an accurate method for assessing your weight. For example, it is unreliable for women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, chronically ill patients, exercisers, competitive athletes, and bodybuilders. Sizes of men and women have been gradually increasing over time. People are just naturally heavier now than they were 20 years ago. In my work with overweight patients, I used two systems, body weight standards and body shape standards, to help them set their get real weight goals. The body weight standards tool is a system I formulated for my patients, and it is a modified and more realistic version of height weight tables. Though not perfect, these body weight standards are more reflective of what can be achieved and certainly a better measure for where most people should be weight-wise. Use the body weight standards chart that you'll find on the text file CD included with this audio program to move forward from where you are now. The lower end of the ranges are for small boned people, the upper end for larger boned individuals. Be honest here. Don't subjectively say you're small boned when in fact you're just the opposite. The second tool, body shape standards, helped my patients monitor their shape by determining their waist to hip ratio. This is important because weight distributions, where you carry weight on your body, can affect your health for better or for worse. The distribution of excess body fat is commonly categorized as apple type or pear type. Apple body types store excess fat in their stomach region and are at greater risk for heart disease, diabetes, and certain cancers. Pear body types store excess fat around their hips and thighs and are at risk for joint problems and obesity with a slew of related health risks. Calculating your waist to hip ratio is easy. Using a tape measure, measure your waist at your belly button. Now, measure your hips at their widest point. Stand with your feet apart in a relaxed position. Divide your waist measurement by your hip measurement to arrive at your waist-hip ratio. Ideally, this number should be 0.8 or less if you are a woman and 0.95 if you are a man. As you lose weight, you'll reduce and redistribute your body fat, leading to a lower waist-to-hip ratio. Psychologically speaking, your get-real weight has little to do with numbers on a scale or any other device. A psychologically healthy weight means you like your body and live in it with pride. You are happy and truly at peace with your size. You accept your God-given uniqueness. You treat your body with respect, care, and love. You like what you see in the mirror every day. You focus your attention on living well rather than just looking good. So, our goal is that you lovingly accept yourself, your natural body frame, your height, your bone structure, your entire genetic makeup, and set your sights on goals that match these factual realities, goals that you can realistically achieve. With weight management, goals are generally expressed in terms of the pounds you want to lose or the weight you want to reach. And those are worthwhile specific goals. These goals are critical to the goal-setting process, and you need to set them. They have motivating merit because they keep your momentum moving forward in a positive direction. But what happens once you've achieved that goal? Once you've dropped the 20, 30, 50, or 100 pounds? Now what? Have you changed anything else in your life that will help you maintain your weight loss? Your sense of motivation and momentum can come to a grinding halt if all you aimed for was the loss of X number of pounds. The weight is gone, but the need for new behaviors that will sustain that weight loss still remains. When people go after goals, they sometimes confuse the means with the end. They focus on an object or an end event, such as the weight they want to reach, without ever following through to the next important step, which is identifying how being at that weight would make them feel. For instance, let's say you define your goal in these terms. I want to weigh 125 pounds. I would suggest to you that weighing 125 pounds is a means to an end rather than an end in itself. You need to go one step further. You must be willing to ask yourself, why do I want to weigh 125 pounds? How will it make me feel? Why is it important? For one thing, you may be doing it because your spouse, your parents, or someone else in your life wants you to. Are you intent on pleasing them? Because if you are, you need to rethink this whole deal. When the priorities are someone else's and not your own, you're spending all your precious time and energy working for external approval, trying to please other people by meeting their expectations while ignoring your own. You'll be miserable because you are denying what is genuinely important to you. You can't make other people happy. Life doesn't work that way. But you can make yourself happy. That said, the question remains to be asked, why do you want to weigh 125 pounds? The real answer is very likely that you want to achieve that weight because of how you think you will feel when you get there. In this example, weighing 125 pounds represents for you the ideal that you will look good and feel better at a smaller size, something you probably desire very strongly. Your ultimate goal, then, is not weighing 125 pounds, but is instead the specific feelings that you think will be attached to that weight. This is an important distinction. If you can recognize that it's not just the specific weight you want to reach, but more importantly, the feelings that you associate with that weight, then your goal expands from the weight to the emotions that are connected with it. If you can come to realize that what you really want is to feel better about yourself, then your goal now includes a feeling element. When you know what you want, how it looks, how it feels, and what experiences it contains, then you can begin to guide your life like a ship toward a harbor light because you now have goals that are exactly, precisely, and realistically defined. Without question, it is this focused, goal-oriented approach to life that distinguishes winners from losers in every endeavor of life, including weight management. Now, if you're ready to start generating great results that will make you a winner, I'm going to give you some guidelines that will help you map out your goals in terms of multi-dimensional criteria. That means all seven keys, all seven doors. You may need to hit pause here and get a pen and some paper. It is super important to write this information down so that you can visually anchor your goal-setting strategy. Okay, let's begin. To help you get in touch with the feeling aspect of this goal setting, I want you to do a three-step process for me. Step one, I'm going to ask you to write down what you think you really want. You'll define this perhaps in terms of pounds lost or a target weight. Step two, I want you to write down what you think you have to do in order to get there. When you write this down, be as specific as you possibly can be. The actual behaviors, exercise, eating changes, whatever you think you're going to have to do to get to the goal you listed in step one. In step three, I want you to write down how you will actually feel when you have attained the goal you wrote down in step one. Stop this audio program now and take your time writing down your thoughts. Try to be as specific as possible. Now, I want you to go back through the cycle again by returning to step one. But what I want you to write down in step one is what you just wrote down for step three. In other words, if what you wrote in step three was, I would feel proud of myself if I attained that weight, that now becomes step one, that what you really want is to feel proud of yourself. Now do step two. Once again, what behaviors would I have to go through in order to attain a feeling of self-pride? Step three, the second time around is what experience or feeling you would have if all of a sudden you did have a sense of self-pride. You can go through these laps as many times as necessary until you have a point of clarity about what you really want. I hope that clarity is going to be a quantitative goal and a feeling experience. Remember, your weight loss goals must be expressed in terms of outcomes that are realistic, and the outcomes must also be measurable. This goal-setting technique is particularly valuable when applied to behaviors such as exercising or weight loss, but it's also important in defining your feeling goals. In other words, what does it mean to feel proud? How do you measure that? Do you feel different when you walk into a room? Do you see yourself differently when you assess your body image? Let's say you want to revamp and organize your lifestyle in such a way that there is always room for exercise. In order to do this, you might express an exercise goal like this. I will briskly walk 3 miles a day, 4 times a week, every week, in the morning before work. This is a goal that can be quantified and measured. Further, you have attached a specific time slot to your exercise session, in the morning before work. And this makes your goal all the more specific and keeps you efficiently on track. When you can measure an outcome, your chances of success go way, way up. You see in concrete detail how close you are to achieving your goal. There is reinforcement and motivating power that comes with seeing yourself succeed like this. Now, go back and look at the goals you've written down in the 3-step process I had you go through 2, 3, or however many times. I want you to review what you wrote down and determine whether or not those goals are measurable. Are there measurable outcomes associated with each one, such as how many pounds you want to lose and what weight you would like to achieve? Again, in addition to being measurable, they have to be realistic for your height and bone structure. You may want to refer to the body weight standards chart for guidance. Stop this program and take as much time as you need to make your goals measurable and realistic. Now that you've finished writing down your goals in terms of measurable and realistic outcomes, the next thing you need to do is assign a timeline to your goal, or it will be nothing more than a dream floating around in your head. For instance, if you've decided your initial goal is to lose 50 pounds in 25 weeks so you will have greater pride in your appearance, your target date would be 25 weeks from the day you start. Working backward from that date, you can see where you would need to be at the midpoint of 12 weeks. Likewise, you can see where you would have to be at the 5-week mark and the 2-week mark. Now, I want you to write down a timeline for achieving that goal. Later, you can transfer the information to your calendar or day timer. Okay, finished? Good. The next thing you need to do is break down your goal into manageable steps. Weight loss doesn't just happen. It happens one step at a time. Considered in its entirety, the thought of losing 50 pounds and dropping several sizes can be so overwhelming that it's paralyzing. But it begins to look doable and it begins to look manageable when broken down into smaller steps. In just a moment, I'm going to have you stop the program again, and when I do, I want you to write down the following statement. I will take certain steps to reach my goal weight. And those steps are as follows. Then I want you to write down the steps that you believe will work for you. They can be as simple as, I will use the keys in this audio program and follow the action steps presented. I will walk 4 times a week for 1 hour each time. I will eliminate junk food from my diet. I will productively and positively manage the stress in my life in order to stop overeating in response to stressful events. I'm not saying you know how to do these things yet. That will come later. But now, stop the program and take the time to finish the sentence and write down the steps you are willing to take. Finished? Great. As you learn about each key to permanent weight loss, come back to this list of steps you've created and add to or change it as necessary. Now, there is one final guideline I want to give you in setting your weight loss goal. Create accountability. Choose a trusted, loyal person in your life and at least once a week, check in with this person and report on your compliance toward reaching your goals. At this time, write down the names of some individuals who might be helpful checkpoint people. Before leaving this all-important subject of goal setting, let me emphasize that life moves by momentum. If you are overeating, not exercising, slumping on your couch every night with a beer in one hand and chips in the other, what you are doing is a product of negative momentum, building in speed and intensity towards failure unless that momentum is reversed. It is now estimated that roughly 65% of our population is overweight. That is an epidemic. Obesity is now considered the leading cause of preventable death in America. Smoking is down to number 2. If you're overweight or obese, you're putting your health on the line. You are at the highest risk of heart disease, stroke, some cancers, type 2 diabetes, gallbladder problems, arthritis, and early death. That means